Welcome to Always Andersonville, the podcast. I'm Charlie. This week, I am joined by Silas Leslie. Silas serves as Hire Trends Now coordinator, trainer, and data analyst at Chicago Therapy Collective. They provide free training and education built around actionable and accessible best practices to small business, many of which are in Andersonville. As a biracial, queer, trans, and neurodivergent person, Silas is deeply committed to an intersectional approach to diversity. Having called the Andersonville area home for a decade, Silas is dedicated to helping Andersonville be accessible, diverse, and to thrive. Chicago Therapy Collective champions citywide accountability, tackling LGBTQ+ health disparities through education, therapy, advocacy, and the arts. Their mission, rooted in therapy's intimate awareness, addresses systemic injustices impacting LGBTQ+, especially QT BIPOC, queer trans, Black, Indigenous, people of color. CTC's flagship program, Hire Trends Now, fights employment discrimination by equipping Chicago businesses with resources to dismantle anti-trans biases. Through relationship building and accountability, they foster welcoming, equitable spaces for trans and non-binary individuals. Silas, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me today.
So happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you. We've worked, the Chamber works with Chicago Therapy Collective a lot, and we've worked with you a lot, and you've led a lot of our DEI and trans inclusionary seminars and education sessions. So I'm very excited to talk to you and get some more information out there about things.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Always happy to be here with the Chamber.
Yay. Awesome. So to start, I'd love to get a little more background about you, you know, how you came to Chicago, Andersonville, the Chicago Therapy Collective. And of course, if you're comfortable, I'd love to hear more about your queer experience and your history.
Yeah, I came to Chicago by birth. I'm a born and raised Chicagoan. I have been fortunate to call Chicago my home all my years. I was born and raised as a Southsider and moved to Andersonville about a decade ago for love.
It's always the best reason that we move places.
Exactly.
Right?
So I moved for love. My then and now partner moved to Andersonville and I followed. Also queer from birth.
As most of us are.
Yes, yes. And yeah, I think, I use the term queer to define myself just as someone whose gender falls outside of binaries, whose sexual attraction falls out of binaries. You know, queer is really the comfortable term for me to use. I'm also part of, you know, a younger generation who's reclaiming queer as an identity rather than a slur. So just want to put that caveat there. And yeah, it was tough growing up a queer trans kid in the 90s. It was really no healthy examples of transness back then. You know, I could not conceptualize that I could be trans until well into my teens. And even then, I really only kind of came into my own in my 30s. So it's still a surprisingly new, yet also lifelong experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just beautiful to be constantly evolving and having an identity that allows me to constantly grow and change and become. I came to CTC initially as a panelist on a training that they did for actually a chamber symposium where we talked about hiring trans folks from the hirer employer perspective. At the time I was working in restaurants, I spent a decade in the restaurant industry managing before I came to the nonprofit sphere. And then from there, during the pandemic and the closures, I started doing some freelancing work with CTC. And, you know, one thing led to another, as it does in nonprofits. And I ended up the Hire Trans Now coordinator. So I'm super happy and really fortunate to be spearheading a lot of the initiatives and really just working to carry on the mission of the program.
A little example of a CTC mission and a great successful event and endeavor was having Catalpa recently renamed in honor of Elise Mallory.
Yes.
The ceremony was just wonderful. It was beautiful and so well attended, and it felt like a true success.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a long time coming. Elise Mallory was a board member and one of the co-founders of Chicago Therapy Collective and Hire Trans Now. Hire Trans Now was truly her baby, and really Hire Trans Now is what it is because of Elise. and, you know, having the street as this permanent reminder of the work that she's done in Andersonville is really heartening. And I think says a lot about us as a community that in Andersonville, we have the first, you know, street named honorarily after a Black trans woman. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm really proud of as, you know, someone who lives here, works here. This is my home. And I'm so proud to be someone who calls such an inclusive place home.
Well, then this is a great segue into talking about Hire Trans Now, because I think from the name of the movement, there's some
it's right there in the name.
You can kind of tell, get an idea of what it's about, but what is it? You know, where did it come from, and what is the mission?
Yeah, Hire Trans Now is a program that focuses on tackling the implicit and explicit biases that employers might have when it comes to hiring trans and non-binary workers. You know, it doesn't really matter how qualified a trans job candidate is if the person interviewing and hiring them has these biases that stand in the way of, you know, this person being hired. So we focus on employers, which is something that is very distinct to our focus and program there. We provide free training to employers. Our focus and really our heart is in small businesses. So that's one of the reasons why we have such a wonderful relationship with our neighbors in Andersonville, as well as the Chamber. And yeah, we are just trying to make, you know, more businesses accessible to trans and non-binary job seekers. So yeah, we do training and consultancy to businesses throughout the city. But once again, our heart's really in Andersonville.
Yeah. Very glad to hear that. So I want to ask then, in your experience, because obviously this movement had to come from somewhere, I imagine a lot of people might not be aware of are some of the challenges that are faced by the trans and non-binary individuals in the workplace.
Yeah, I think inclusion and feeling excluded starts so early in the job process. You know, when you pick up an application and suddenly you're asked about a binary gender. You're asked for your legal name, which may not be the name that you feel comfortable being called by. So just those small little cuts that eventually turn into a big wound. Once, you know, trans and non-binary people are in the workplace, inclusion and the lack thereof can look in a lot of ways. One that I've seen so common is the isolation of trans and non-binary workers, you know, because people are like, I don't know the right thing to say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So there are just this literal exclusion of trans and non-binary employees just because no one feels comfortable speaking to them.
Yeah. I know as a part of that, honorifics become a pretty big subject. For anyone who might not be familiar or aware, can you define honorifics?
Yeah, honorifics are terms that are used to kind of show respect and honor. So sir, ma'am, ladies, gentlemen, those are honorifics. And yeah, with honorifics, just say no. Just say no to honorifics. when you see a person, no matter how they are expressing their gender through their clothes or makeup or appearance, you never know a person's gender identity. So when you address a crowd as ladies and gentlemen, or for our folks in, you know, restaurant industries or something like that, where it's like, take these ladies to table 7. You don't really know the gender identity of the people that you're referring to. Mm-hmm. And really, you can be causing pain and feelings of exclusion to folks. So there's so many great things to say instead. Honored guest, fine, you know, folks, party people is my personal favorite. Honorific replacement, y'all. So many other things. English is such a fun language, and there's so many other things that we can use that we can retire honorifics for the most part.
Yeah. If you're from Pittsburgh, yins is gender neutral. Or gender inclusive. So yins is kind of like the Pittsburgh y'all.
Wonderful.
It's not you all, it's youins. And for some reason it works. Yeah, or at least for us. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that you hear where it's something that seems so benign, but actually has such a huge impact on how someone feels regarded in a workplace.
Exactly. You know, when just the most basic tenet of your identity, your gender, just think about how essential your gender identity is to you, to have that constantly challenged or constantly dismissed. It's painful, you know, let alone instances where people are like purposely misgendering you in the workplace or really anywhere as far as misgendering, that's really referring to a person or relating to them in a way that is not aligned to the gender identity that they have. So that could be using the wrong pronouns, that could be using the wrong name, that could be denying them services or access to spaces that are aligned with their gender identity.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, I mean, this is a large question, I know, but, you know, I imagine one of the difficult barriers to break down is the point in between educating business owners on running a trans inclusionary business and providing actionable and accessible practices. And actionable and accessible are two words that are used, you know, in your information for CTC. And I think two words that seem like they're obvious, but might actually be kind of difficult to when you ask someone, okay, what is an accessible and actionable, you know, practice? They don't really know.
Oh, for sure. You know, like I said earlier, like our heart and soul is really in small businesses. You know, we have relationships with larger organizations, but, you know, I think once again, starting in Andersonville, being located in Andersonville, small businesses are really, you know, where our heart's at. And so we have the understanding and the knowledge that time is literally money for a lot of folks. A lot of folks don't have the bandwidth and time to really dig deep into theory or dig deep into like vaguer concepts. So the way we provide best practices, which is, as the term would imply, the best way to, you know, build an application, the best way to conduct an interview. So we do best practices via checklists. So literally it's a checklist of 9 action items that you can put in place pretty immediately in your workplace that will make the hiring experience more trans inclusive. So it's things like adding pronouns to applications. It's posting your jobs on trans focused job boards, of which Chicago Therapy Collective has one on our website. So that is also something that our sign-on businesses have access to. So it is really just straightforward things that can be accomplished pretty immediately. And I think those small steps forward, those immediate wins, are an immediate harm reduction for a lot of trans and non-binary job seekers, and also really paves the way for employers to keep moving in that direction of, you know, some deeper and more systemic change.
I think a part of that, kind of going back to something you said earlier about people being afraid to say the wrong thing, you say business owners wanting to keep moving in that direction. And it seems like a big part of that is them becoming more comfortable just asking questions.
Yes.
So like, I think one of the things I wanted to hear from you about was people that say, and I think, you know, with obviously the system as it's been for so long, the word programmed is we're programmed to use binary pronouns or genders. And it's when someone says they're afraid to say the wrong thing, what's the best action for them to take to actually, you know, to learn, to educate, and to become less afraid?
Yeah. You know, in Chicago, we're really fortunate that in every area of the city, there is a organization focused on the well-being of trans folks. So there are a lot of organizations, ours included, that do trans 101 education and trainings. We actually just had one fairly recently, and we're always happy to see the turnout from business owners. And it's an opportunity to ask those questions, learn, stumble sometimes. Because, you know, you want to have those stumbles in a safe place rather than with your trans or non-binary employees. So training is a really great step. Practice is another one. We have a exercise in our training where we instruct folks to talk about their weekend, but don't use any gendered terms for anyone in your story. So you're using they, them pronouns for everyone. You're using mail carrier instead of mailman. And just that sort of practice, it's like learning a new language in some ways. And it has that sort of barrier for a lot of people. It's like learning a new language. You have to study and you have to practice.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I've seen you do in the workshops we've had you in that I love is, and you just mentioned it, is, you know, people are going to stumble as they're trying to learn, they're going to stumble. And I think I've seen you address those stumbles in the most wonderful and not judgmental and approachable way, where it's like, you're going to stumble, but here's what you can, if you stumble, here's what you can do to say, I'm sorry, you know, what was the correct thing to say, or just to not have to feel embarrassed about stumbling and just know that you're learning.
Yeah, no, I'm always happy to hear that that is the sort of environment we're creating, because that is the environment that we're aiming for. All of our trainers are trans and non-binary, so it's also an opportunity to just talk with trans and non-binary people who are literally paid to educate you and to, you know, talk through these things, to kind of talk through those stumbles and just provide that basic education of like, yeah, you'll make a mistake. Learn how to apologize. Learn to correct yourself, apologize, and move on. And I think that's really important, is really centering the trans and non-binary person that you might have made a stumble in front of or towards, and centering them in their experience rather than kind of the pain and awkwardness of making these mistakes.
Yeah. And I imagine if someone does stumble in front of someone, you know, the acknowledgement that they realize they stumbled, or if they are corrected, they're like, you know, oh, thank you for correcting me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it helps make it'll prevent the hurt that could come from that situation.
Yeah. And everyone makes mistakes. I think that's always really important to drive home. Like, as a queer, trans, non-binary person, I will sometimes accidentally misgender someone. I will use the wrong pronouns as a slip of the tongue. It's just kind of, you know, human nature. Our brains like taking shortcuts, and we'll use visual cues to kind of signal, oh, I think this person uses these sorts of pronouns. Also, it's just a slip of the tongue sometimes. Mm-hmm. So everyone makes mistakes. The person who is literally, whose job is to educate people about these things, makes mistakes. And I think that's important to drive home.
Yeah. From the beginning, how do you approach building a relationship with the businesses? And you obviously, you've worked a lot with Andersonville businesses in the area. How does that relationship start? I mean, I know the first thing you'd think of is, like with any, you know, organization, your consultation about your audit. How are things going? You know, what are your concerns? Where are you succeeding? Where are you not succeeding? But how does that relationship start?
Yeah, you know, I think the relationship starts by just stopping by. Mm-hmm. It's building a meaningful relationship with an organization or a business before you're diving deep. Because when businesses or business owners are kind of exposing areas where they stumble that are challenges, that are pain points, sometimes it's difficult. So, you know, we're really fortunate in Andersonville that, you know, these are the shops I buy my snacks at. These are, you know, where I, you know, buy my clothes. So we have these wonderful relationships with businesses already as, you know, residents and neighbors. So just getting to know the business, getting to know what they're doing. And yeah, also really celebrating the things that they're doing right. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, pretty much everyone is doing at least one thing right. And really driving home that, like, you've done this one thing, you can just do more. But as far as our process, a consultation and kind of introductory meeting where we once again get to know each other. It's kind of like a first date. We get to know each other. You know, we share kind of that basic info. You know, I grew up in Chicago. I'm a Pisces, stuff like that. But like the business version. And then from there, we talk about, you know, what services we as Hire Trans Now provide, because I think it's really important to let people know what they can access, because we do have a lot of really great services and work that we do. But if people don't know what they have access to, they can't ask for it. And then from there, we kind of just go, okay, you heard what we have. How can we help you?
Yeah.
So it's really building that really personal relationship with owners and managers where that trust can build, and then just building on that trust and building education on top of that foundation.
Have you seen the community really step up and embrace and pursue the education?
Yes, yes. So Hire Trans Now actually started, our pilot program started in 2019 in Andersonville. Mallory spearheaded that, and Elise herself went door to door and signed up so many businesses up and down the Clark corridor. And I think that is a really special thing to us organizationally that ties us to our neighborhood and also ties us to Elise. Mm-hmm. When we think of our Andersonville sign-ons, which is a significant portion of the neighborhood, you know, we really think of Elise and that work that she did in 2019. So our Andersonville partners are some of our oldest and most longstanding partners coming from our pilot program in 2019. And both from the chamber, being the host of many of our trainings and educational opportunities, to the businesses that we know we're going to see an employee from every training we do, it's really heartening once again to know that this is my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And these are the people that I see every day and know that they want to be a better employer and a better person to people like me.
It's a special thing when you see someone actually making the effort because you can tell they want to. I think there's a lot of box checking that we see, you know, in larger institutions and it's small business owners. I feel like when we've done these workshops, they come in and they're like, these people want to learn.
Absolutely. There's no real reason for them to be there other than they want to be a better employer. They want to be an employer of choice. Yeah. And that's really exciting and important to see.
And of course, you'll work with organizations and businesses outside of Andersonville.
Absolutely. Yeah. Outside of Andersonville, businesses of every size. But, you know, once again, Andersonville area resident, Andersonville area, like organization, we're located right above Women and Children First. So we're right in the heart of the neighborhood. So these are our neighbors. So we're always extra proud of, you know, our hood.
Can you talk about how you've seen Hire Trends now grow a little bit, but also do you have a particularly impactful success story or moment that you could share with us?
Yeah, you know, like I said, our pilot program started in 2019. 2020 happened. That happened.
It did.
In case anyone was wondering or had questions, 2020 happened. 4 years have passed now.
Oh my
gosh. Are shockingly not in 2020 anymore. How does time work?
I don't know.
I don't know. I truly don't know how time works at this point. But we started in 2019, had a pause there, really moved our resources to community events and, you know, really keeping people feeling part of the community during quarantine. We kind of restarted once things started opening back up and folks were, you know, looking for jobs and looking for employees. Last March, in honor of Elise, her birthday is March 29th. Also, Trans Day of Visibility is March 31st. So, you know, we do quite a bit around that last week of March in honor of Elise. We did a pretty massive recruitment campaign in honor of Elise and also kicked off by a resolution from the city council honoring Elise in Hire Trends Now, as well as the start of a relationship with the city of Chicago to make them better at employing and hiring trans people. So we saw a really big boost in that recruitment campaign. It was amazing to see how many people sought us out.
Yeah.
I think that's always the thing that really surprises me in the best ways is how many people seek us out. Because, you know, once again, we'll cold call people. We'll kind of knock on doors, but it's amazing to see people who reach out to us. So yeah, we saw quite a bit of growth. We more than tripled our amount of signed on businesses from March to November that year. So it's been, pardon me, November to March. I got it backwards.
You're good.
Once again time. How does it work? It was November to March. There we go. We did that. And so that was just amazing to see. When I think of success stories and just impactful moments, it's so many. I can't name them.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of ways.
To start from Elise going up and down, you know, knocking on doors to
people.
That's
how we started.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important and really drives home kind of like the point of Hire Trends Now is to build those relationships with businesses and really make it a relationship where that trust can build. And so seeing our relationships with businesses grow and change as the years go on, from, you know, tentatively coming to some of our trainings to being the hosting organization to our trainings. It's really amazing to see. I'm going to use amazing a few more times because it's amazing.
It's amazing.
And I think like one of the most heartening things for me when I'm doing like my trainings, it's a very niche thing, but very often parents of trans and non-binary kids come up to me at the end of trainings because these are parents that are here not only to be better employers, better managers, but to be better parents and learn a little bit more about, you know, their kid. And they come up to me at the end and just like share these beautiful stories of their child and how proud they are of their kid. Those are the ones that get me misty-eyed. Gotta say, I get a little misty-eyed sometimes, but to see that impact that we're having, not just in the employment sphere, but also just in families and relationships.
So do you feel, obviously, like you said, you've lived in Chicago your whole life, and I love to hear that the city of Chicago is engaging with
yes.
you. It seems like that's always one of the biggest hurdles is, you know, we talk about the systemic issues mm-hmm. and the city of Chicago is the top of the system in Chicago. So it's nice to hear that they're engaging with you.
Yeah. Leading by example is important. So the city passing that resolution honoring Elise mm-hmm. and honoring Hire Trans Now and committing to Hire Trans Now was a really big step for us and for the city. And they have been, you know, great partners, and we are having a wonderful time working with them. A bit over our small businesses, I guess, as far as size, but we're handling that well, fortunately. And yeah, no, it's really heartening to see also in the new administration, because this relationship has now gone through two administrations, but to see that commitment on a level beyond just surface of a resolution honoring Elise, but instead actually doing the work that Elise wanted
yeah.
and really championed is really important.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, we've obviously talked a lot about, you know, the Hire Trans Now program, but CTC, Chicago Therapy Collective, has a very strong focus on mental health. And I think one with COVID, but also with our generation, mental health has become a subject that's finally more less stigmatized, mm-hmm. more acceptable. I mean, I'm a person that'll go to a friend and say like, oh my God, you're not gonna believe what my therapist told me last week.
Yes.
But mental health is an especially crucial sector for the LGBTQ plus mm-hmm. community, the LGBTQ plus and the BIPOC communities. And why is it an important focal point of Chicago Therapy Collective?
Yeah, you know, it's fortunate it's right in the name, therapy. We focus on mental health. And I think that's really the root of all our programs. You know, we have in-house clinicians that see clients. We do mental health advocacy around legislation. We do referrals to other clinicians. And also, we focus on those social determinants of health. So the things that are in our lives, in the world, that impact our mental health. So it's so great to hear people talk about therapists and just have that out in the open. And also, it's so important to think about the things in our lives and our everyday that kind of lead us to going to see a therapist. So things like employment, which is why we focus on Hire Trans Now, and employment is you're at your work 40 hours a week. And so if you are at a workplace that you don't feel safe in or is misgendering you, that's going to impact your mental health. So just like through and through, mental health and really the mental health of the LGBTQ community, which, you know, we have a disproportionately high rate of mental health issues, of suicide. It's an even higher percentages among the trans and non-binary community. It's important that we sort of approach improving the mental health of our community from all angles.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of being a part of the LGBTQ plus community, and an unfortunate word I think we hear a lot is enduring.
Yes.
The enduring being who you are. And it shouldn't be enduring. It shouldn't be surviving. It should be
exactly.
thriving.
Exactly.
You know?
We deserve more than just survival.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really important as, you know, LGBTQ plus people to really be gentle and soft and take care of ourselves, because, you know, sometimes we're the only person to do it. And sometimes the world is working against it. So focus on your mental health.
So CTC is a place that someone could go to and say, I think I need help, or I know I need help, but I don't know where to go, and I don't know where to start. Or people could come to you and try and for these resources to put them send them in the right direction.
Yeah, we have a wonderful intake email, intake@chicagotherapycollective.org, where you can ask for referrals to other clinicians that we know work with trans and non-binary folks in particular. And yeah, we, you know, provide resources in whatever way we can. And referrals is really something we focus a lot on.
Great. I want to get into, so you, in our conversations we've had, you've talked about how you're a person deeply committed to intersectionality. And before we get too into this question, intersectionality can be a very large term, a very broad term, but can you provide a definition of what intersectionality is?
Yeah, I think intersectionality, it's all the facets that make us who we are. It's our gender identity, our sexual orientation, our nation of origin, the language we primarily speak, so many things that make us who we are. All those things overlap and make you the person you are. And each of those things either bring you closer or further away from power and privilege. And so intersectionality is that view of we are whole people. We're not just our gender identity. We're not just our sexual orientation. We are whole people. And the other aspects of our identity that bring us closer or further away from power and privilege have a major impact on how we even approach those things like gender identity and sexual orientation.
Well, and how do you, I mean, I imagine it must be a challenge that there's so many, you know, you don't just say it's not just LGBT groups that are marginalized. It's not just BIPOC mm-hmm. groups that are marginalized. There's so many different types of marginalized communities. And I can imagine it can be difficult to make sure every single one of those communities' issues are addressed and that the programs and initiatives that you have involve everyone. I mean, it's a vast undertaking. I mean, I'm sure there are challenges in that.
Yeah, it's pretty impossible to have a program that focuses on the needs of every intersection of people, just because once again, people are so vast and varied. And each person's an individual. So when we think of intersectionality, there's that individual level, and then there's those larger kind of group levels. So we do a lot around intersectionality with race and ethnicity, really focus on how gender identity is impacted by, you know, the additional marginalization of BIPOC, so Black, Indigenous, and other people of color communities. We are really fortunate that we also work with organizations throughout the city. Task Force on the West Side is a wonderful partner. And we have actually done a training that focuses on the particular needs of Black and Latina women of trans experience or trans women in the workplace. So focusing on those things that make the experience different and having to bring in issues of like anti-racism and issues of, you know, identifying aspects of white supremacy in the workplace. So we do it through additional trainings, you know, those trans 201s usually, and really make sure that when we're building programs, when we are building relationships with partners, we are focusing on really additional marginalized identities.
Yeah. So, you know, you obviously you've shared, and I feel like it should be obvious, the importance of creating welcoming and equitable spaces for trans and non-binary individuals. But from a human standpoint, from a human rights standpoint, mm-hmm. you led a workshop for us last year just about being trans inclusive and gender inclusive. Mm-hmm. And from a bit, you brought something up from a business standpoint, because obviously, you know, the human rights is a main focus, but you had brought up the business aspect of being inclusive. And I think you referred to it as was it the queer dollar?
Yeah, you know, LGBTQ plus dollars, queer dollars, trans dollars, being trans inclusive is, you know, like you said, the right thing to do. It is the moral thing to do. That truck agrees. Yeah. Honk if you love human rights.
Honk if you love trans people.
It's not just the moral thing to do. It's not just the right thing to do. It's also just good business to do. You know, making your business inclusive and a safe place for everyone to come, you are getting more customers, you know, trans people have money that we want to spend. And, you know, if we can spend it at a business that we know is inclusive in their practices, in their employment, that is a really important factor. You know, I think one of the most amazing things about Andersonville is I can go to a lot of our businesses in our neighborhoods and in our neighborhood and see trans employees. And it's really important for me that when I see a business with a trans employee, I'm like, okay, this is a business that I know is a safer business for me to shop at. It's a clear sign. It's a clear sign of, you know, some level of inclusion that, you know, they are, you know, willing and will hire trans people. You know, also, I drive home forever. It's just good business. You're an employer of choice. You'll have more people to pull.
Agreed.
Yeah. Honk if you like employing trans people. It's just good business, both from the standpoint of bringing in more customers, but also making yourself an employer of choice. I think a lot of businesses have trouble finding people to work. And I think trans people are a market of employees. And, you know, we are really proud to kind of build that talent pipeline between trans employees and job seekers and employers looking for candidates. Also, it's a retention issue. I drive home forever. It's a retention issue. Once you have those trans employees, keeping them is really important. It's not just hiring, it's keeping, and retention's always a problem. So it's just good money to be inclusive through and through.
Yeah. Even if human rights weren't enough of an important, you know, part of being and trying learning and educating and being inclusive, it's good for your business.
Exactly. It's just making money.
So, I mean, looking ahead, what are some of your hopes and goals for the future of Hire Trends now? I mean, you've talked about all the success that you've had already, and it's wonderful to hear, but there's always a next step. There's always, you know, another rung in the ladder. And where would you like it to go, and where do you see it going?
Wow. That's quite the question.
It is.
And, you know, it's one of those things that is difficult for me to answer, largely also in our name, Collective. We do a lot of collective decision making. So I think really all of us within the organization are going to drive and build a future that is aligned with, you know, Elise, you know, the founder of Hire Trends Now. But I think in the most immediate things, I think I hope to see these relationships with signed on businesses grow, to get more people trained, and to, you know, really just have more people come into the fold and really get that basic education. Because I think that basic education makes such a difference that it's every person who is trained is a accomplishment for us. So just keep on keeping on right now, doing what we're doing, but more of it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we could obviously have a long, long conversation about the balance between advocating for change within existing systems, but also pushing for broader societal changes to address inequalities. Like that's a huge conversation.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when we have people that contact us and they're looking for resources, and we often send them to you, people that want to make the greatest changes sometimes, I think, miss the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that the small changes you make are how the big changes are going to happen. You know, we could sit here and talk forever about, you know, the balance between advocating for change within our current systems and then also broader societal shifts. You know, it's a huge conversation. It's a huge endeavor, and it's a long process. But I think a lot of people that are passionate about making changes that might not know how miss the forest for the trees, mm-hmm. and don't realize those small little changes you make, going to that class, working every day to get rid of the honorifics in your head, asking questions of your employees and being like, are you comfortable? Do you feel safe? You know, those are the changes that are going to make a difference in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, we really focus on those social determinants of health. It's things as vast as employment, access to transportation, you know, access to, you know, doctors. It's so many aspects that influence our mental health, which once again is the driving force of our organization. And so our mission gets very big. It gets very, very big. very quickly. And also, we exist in systems that are unjust, that are unfair, that cause harm to people of color, trans and non-binary people, LGBTQ people in general. And it's difficult sometimes to work in those systems. You know, capitalism can sometimes be hard to work in. And so it's important to make those changes. As we say, Hire Trans Now is harm reduction. It's a harm reduction strategy. Is ultimately what Hire Trans Now is. You know, the program doesn't have, you know, several weeks of seminars that folks might need and the really intense education that we hope eventually we provide people. But Hire Trans Now itself is just getting trans people safely in the door for employment so they have money to live, to spend, to care for themselves with. And so really through and through, focusing on that harm reduction that will immediately change the lives of people. Sometimes it's larger things like the Hire Trans Now program in its entirety, which really reaches and touches so many aspects of businesses. But also, it's like you said, the small things like an individual going to a training and learning how to talk to a trans person a little bit better. Mm-hmm. That can lead to a trans person getting a job, lead to a trans person getting a job with an employer that can use their pronouns correctly, getting a job with an employer who will have a conversation with them because they're not scared of saying the wrong thing, because they know how to apologize. And, you know, really just having that immediate impact on individuals when it comes to something as basic as employment, when it comes to something as basic as mental health and providing that, you know, referral to one person. It is, you know, it's planting the forest in a lot of ways, planting those trees. And I think that is one of the things I really love about Hire Trans Now and the work we do, is we get to exist in this forest and plant these trees and kind of work on both of those levels, both that individual within a system and also that larger systemic change that we do.
Awesome. Well, Silas, thank you so much for talking to me today. This is great. I love sitting down and having conversations with you. I feel like I learn something new every time we just talk and have a conversation.
It's always a pleasure to chat with you as well.
And before we go, where can people find you? Socials, website. I know you mentioned the intake email earlier.
We are really active on our Instagram. It's really great. So you can find us at Shy Therapy Collective, so CHI Therapy Collective on Instagram. You can find our website, chicagotherapycollective.org. There you'll also find our job board, where our signed on Hire Trans Now businesses can post jobs free. The whole thing's free, both for employers and employees. I have to remember to say that, because job boards often charge money, I learned.
Yeah.
So find our job board and more about us on our website. And if you have any questions, you can email us at info@chicagotherapycollective.org.
And of course, you can always reach out to the chamber if you would like us to make a connection for you as well. You know, but look into Chicago Therapy Collective to learn how to ask those questions, learn how to apologize, and just take that first step. Any upcoming events or anything that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, we really just came off of the tail of our March events for T-Dove and celebrating Elise. Our next big thing is Midsummerfest, actually. We will have a bit of time on a stage at Midsummerfest this year, third year in a row, in fact. So that will be our next exciting thing. You'll also find us tabling at Midsummerfest as well.
Yes, the lineup is out. So take a look. See when Chicago Therapy Collective is going to be hosting at our Summerdale stage, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, well, Silas, thank you again. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.